Daniel 7:25, where we started our text 2 weeks ago when we made our maiden voyage, started our process of sailing into the scriptures with the Shepherd's Call, sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary. When you believe the truth, you have to untangle yourself from the web of deceit. Now, the Bible says again in Daniel 7:25, they will think, they, a group of unholy men. Now, if you go back to the time of Constantine, you'll find that during the reign of Constantine, the Julian calendar was adopted. Now, the Julian calendar had been used before the time of Christ in the Roman Empire. Now, they kept an eight-day calendar during the time of Christ, and everybody said, well, the Jews kept a different calendar. Well, let me show you something here. You can't say that it was the Jews particularly that kept a different calendar, because eventually they were scattered, Israel. We're not talking about Jews. We're talking about Israel proper. They were scattered, and there was only a remnant left in the land of Israel, where Christ came to and was brought up. I told you that he was not a Jew. Everybody thinks that Christ was a Jew. Not one scripture will verify that, although all of Christianity practically believe it. Now, the Bible said you can believe a lie and you can be damned. So why would you want to believe something that you can't prove? Well, you say, well, Pilate said he was a Jew. No. Pilate asked him if he was a Jew. What did Christ say? Well, in replying back, and he said, you say. You see, there's a difference between, because, you know, Pilate, he'd been told that this was a Jewish subverter trying to breed insurrection into Israel to get them to rebel against the Roman Empire. That's what Pilate was told by the same people that killed him, who hated him, and who sought to destroy him, because we know for sure that the Christ spoke against their evil deeds. Now, these are the Jews, are the ones that call themselves Jews of that day. So then, by the Julian calendar, it's called the calendar of choice of the Roman Empire. Now, of course, it wasn't observed by the House of Israel. You know what the House of Israel did? They observed the biblical calendar. They knew exactly how to keep the calendar and to keep it holy. You say, well, how did they do that, Pastor Buddy? Well, they done that by the acts of the biblical calendar that is set up, and you can still read about it, praise Yahweh. There is over 72 references that indicate that the time that was kept in the Bible, the Bible time, was actually the calendar of a solar lunar combination. In other words, I describe this in part two of our message. This is part three tonight. Satan stole the times and changed them. He organized a great body. This included the men of the Roman Empire. They got an astrologer, Mr. Julian. He hired a mathematician, an astrologer, and they came up with this calendar. And the problem with it, the days begin to drift out because they haven't allowed certain factors like the Gregorian calendar, which we use today. They get that calendar to adopt some of the learner, although they do not observe the learner, they adopted some of the learner truths that were to keep time in its natural state. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that the lunar months and lunar weeks is a fact that they kept it over 72, if you will now, over 72 references in the Bible where that it talks about the Sabbaths were kept along with the new moons. Now, the new moon began the month. It's a renewal process. Well, the Gregorian calendar, adopted from the Julian calendar, they actually threw that calendar out the door. They said, no, we can't have that. We can't have that calendar that will not let us keep the time of the festivals of our God. Now, they had many gods, pagan gods, that is, and when they begin to adopt the pagan calendar that Julian had perfected, at least to his standpoint, the Roman Empire changed from the 8th day to the 7th day model, which was more popular modeled after the Hebrew calendar, which has a 7-day in the account before you rest. Now, that's somewhat confusing because we're going to give you an example that the seventh day is not the day that we call Saturday. This is the confusing point. You'll hear these Seventh-day Adventists chide the Catholic Church for changing the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday, which they didn't do, by the way. And they will readily acknowledge that they knew that the first day of the week, taking it based upon what they had been told, was the day that Christ rose. Well, he did. Now, the first day of the week would have been the 16th day of the month, as opposed to the 7th day being the Saturday, which was the 7th day Adventist claim that Saturday is the Sabbath. And then the church that changed it would have been the Roman Catholic Church, which the first day of the week for them would have been Sunday, keeping their calendar. And so people are so easily deceived, including those who call themselves Jews, or the one that admit that the Jewish calendar was the seventh-day calendar, which was Saturday. Now, that's impossible. In the 14th day of the first month, at even is Yahweh's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the appointment. Now, this is the one that was changed. This is the one that Satan hated. He didn't want this to be in the time frame or the mind of the house of Israel, the Hebrews, not the Jews now. Everybody says, well, the Jews are God's chosen people. That's not true. It is the Hebrews. It is Israel. Israel consisted of 12 tribes. Later on had another one added, which is the 13th tribe. And by the adoption of Ephraim and Manasseh, in the 48th chapter of the book of Genesis, we had the adoption of these two, along with 11, made 13 sons to inherit in the Bible, known as the 12 tribes of Israel, with Manasseh making the 13th tribe. Now, we know that time became crucial and critical to keeping the proper Sabbath. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, it tells us that it will be a mark for those who keep the Sabbath. Mark, meaning it's a day identified as when Yahweh rested. Now, to counter that argument, the devil would say, well, you can worship every day, don't matter which day. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that wouldn't be a Sabbath day because the Bible says for you to work 6 days and then keep a Sabbath. Now, it's very easily discerned that the Bible teaches that they kept a monthly timeline to bring in the times to worship, beginning with the first day, which would be a new moon, the first day of the month. Now, how do you determine the first day of the month? Well, simply, you wait until the moon at the end of the month. You can see its different phases, and we'll go over that with you and give you some formulas or formulations of biblical propositions that if you follow a weekly cycle of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, repeat, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. See, that's man's ideal. Seventh-day Adventist would have you believe that the Gregorian calendar, the Julian who Constantine adopted, and then later Pope Gregory changed it and modified it, and then it was changed again by modern man because of the dateline, the international dateline, the commerce and the trade between the countries, and the traveling ability through ship or plane. You know, sometimes you can even outrun time. We've got vehicles now that can actually outrun time. You can leave here on a certain date and arrive before the certain date because of the international dateline in some other country. Very confusing, isn't it? Well, Yahweh is not the author of confusion. Constantine was the author of confusion, and so was the Caesar, Julian, and so was Constantine, and so was Pope Gregory. These are masterminds of deception. If you have a Gregorian calendar, a Roman calendar, you're keeping time with the RCC Church, the Roman Catholic Church. You're keeping their time. You're not keeping Yahweh's biblical time, as the Bible speaks against the time of man in favor of the time of Yahweh. But man has cast the truth of the Bible by Pope Julian. He completely removed the lunar aspect of time out of the calendar. He took it out. He said, we don't need that piece of junk up there. What's it for? Well, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, it is for the things that Yahweh designed it and set it there and tilted it to 23.5 degrees, which would cycle the time of light through the stars shining in the heavens. At night, it become a reflector globe of transit of time. And it's very easy to determine when the dark moon begins to have its first light, that's first crescent, and you go to work. And you work for 6 days, and you will rest on the eighth day of the month. And that would be what the Catholic call, in their seven-day cycle, that would be on Sunday. But it's not true. It's the first Sabbath, biblically, that's justifiable if you keep the first day, the new moon, holy. Then you would cycle 6 days before you could keep the Sabbath. That's mandatory, to work 6 days and then keep the Sabbath on the seventh day. Well, if you kept the first day, the new moon, holy, you blow the trumpet, no servile work, and you kept that holy, then you work 6 days. You would rest on the seventh day of the calendar of the month, but it will be the eighth day of the month instead of the seventh day, as some would have you believe. that it rotates every 7 days. And we know that there's a fallacy in the rotation of 7 days as men seek to change times and laws. And by doing so, they ignore the appointments of Yahweh. Yahweh's Passover is on the 15th day of the same month. Now, their Passover would not fall on the 15th of the month. It would fall on the 14th. If they had a continuous recycling of the thing. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, that's where the Bible comes in. Did you know that he was crucified on the 14th day of the month? We know that. That the Passover will tell us that he was to be offered up on the Passover at the top of the Lamb. That's why he typed himself into these festivals, and that's why he gave you the festivals to cross-reference by the time of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Now, some people say, well, if he was killed on Friday, and then he got up on the first day of the week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, that's not 3 days. So the Catholic way of counting is an error from the word go. And if you people that worship the Easter that they designed and describe, along with the Jewish count, both of them are in error because they give you a Friday or a Saturday or a Sunday, a time the Muslims take Friday, the Seventh-day Adventists take Saturday, and the Catholics take Sunday. Each one has a preference. Each one has an option. With Yahweh, you do not have an option. You do not have a preference. You only have his day, which is a holy day, and if you're holy, you shall have in the first day of that count, which is beginning of the 15th day, that is a holy day. You shall keep a holy assembly because it is a seventh day intermission Sabbath that comes after 6 working days. Can you see that? Well, that will be on the first quarter, would be the 8th day, as I said, and then you would keep 6 more days, and it'll bring you to the evening of the going down the sun of the 14th day, where he was taken down from the torture stake, put in a grave, and he was there for one night. I know you think he was there for 3 days and 3 nights. But when the Sabbath had ended, early on the first day of the week, that would have been on the 16th day, when he was to be risen. Now the passion was his 72 hour passion was in the heart of the earth. That means that he began his passion 2 days earlier, and he was in the grave 1 day. That's on the 15th. He spent the evening of the 14th, beginning the 15th day, proving that the Sabbath is from evening to evening. And so then, he rested from the evening of the 14th, taken down, put in the tomb, and early on the first day of the week, which would have been the 16th day. Everybody said, well, that was on Sunday. He got up early on Sunday. See how deceptive they are? See how they lead you astray? See how they fool you? See how they deceive you into keeping a false Sabbath? Man is so tricky. And man is so subtle in his deception. And while you were not yet born, unless you were born at the time of Christ, and then you would have known him, we're going to prove to you, we're going to go back as a reference point and prove to you that Yahweh was keeping the proper day. And you know what day he was keeping? It was on the Sabbath. Next week we'll get into it called the 8th day Sabbath. You don't want to miss it. It is astonishing how simple it is, and yet man has come in as the deceptive agent that he is. He has actually blinded the truth, the eyes of the people that should know the truth, from the tradition. For, well, you reject Yahweh's commandments to keep your own tradition. And we were raised and born believing that Saturday was the seventh day, according to the calendar. Whose calendar? Yahweh's? No. Did Yahweh follow a Gregorian calendar? Of course not. Question. They follow the Julian calendar before the calendar of Pope Gregory, before it was altered in that day and changed. Many days was taken from it and regulated. When they put in the international dateline, we had more changes, because suddenly, as they tried to put the international dateline in the center of the ocean, going around the ocean to avoid the land masses, because once they established an international dateline, on one day, or on one side, was a different time than on the other side. And all it was an imaginary, an image. That's how that we say, now that you have been given up to worship the image of the beast, and if you do, if you don't come out of her in time to save yourself and them that hear you, you're going to be found worshiping the beast. And we wouldn't have you to worship the beast. Now notice this. The seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. It is a conclusive piece of evidence that the seventh day is referring to the seventh day of the feast. It could be a repeat, same as other repeats throughout the scriptures that we could refer to you, and could be referring to the seventh day that comes after the six work days. Exodus 13, 6 and 7 shows that a repeat, 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to Yahweh. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. Now I might mention that if there were two Sabbaths intermission, one on the 15th at the beginning of the feast, and one on the 21st or the seventh day of the feast, how would you not know from the scriptures which one on the 21st or the seventh day of the feast, how would you not know from the scripture which Sabbath intermission to count to Pentecost? Gives you a time count. When you come into the land and you are to wave the sheaf offering after the Sabbath. Now notice this. For Christ to be in the earth, the heart of the earth, for 3 days, began his passion when he was captured, put in prison, interrogated, brought to Pilate, back to Herod, then on to the torture stake, and then on the 14th day at 3 o'clock, we know exactly what, at the ninth hour, he died, yielded up the ghost, and died, and was taken down before dark. It was wrong. Actually, it was a curse to leave anyone on the torture stake. It wasn't a cross. It was a tree in the shape of a Y. Well, what's the name of Yahweh? It starts with a Y. The torture stake was in a form of a Y. All they'd done was went out and cut down a tree that was shaped in at the top, and the branches, it lied out so that they could hang his hands, if you will, on that stake and crucify him and nail him to that tree. It represented, he hung on the tree, and the tree represents Yahweh and his name. Every tree that you see out there lies out. It don't cross. A cross is a pagan symbol, taken from the Catholic Church, who masterminded some of these pagan doctrines that have come forth, and it's very easy to count and see them, as many authors in the past have shown you the fallacy of their pagan ways. Also, the deception of the time count. It's very deliberate. And Yahweh spake unto Moses. Here it is with the continuing factor of the time when he counted the appointments from Leviticus 23. Notice this. From this count, Yahweh said, you shall count from the first day of the month 7 days and keep a Sabbath. Well, if you rested on the new moon, day one of the month, beginning of the month. See, the Roman calendar will not start their time on a month count. They start on a 7 day continuous recycle of the 7 days of the week. Well, now that's an error because the Hebrews kept a monthly, they blew the trumpet on the new moon. Now, this new moon became a problem for those who were in Israel, confined and restricted within the confines of the month. They found themselves on the new moon, according to Amos chapter 8, verse 5. And I had a brother call me last week and tell me that this is a convincing scripture that turned me to the lunar Sabbath. Well, it was one of the strong scriptures. It wasn't the one that turned me, but it was one of the ones that added information to enough to persuade me that this is the right teaching, and we can give you 72 more out of from that one, 71 more that we've picked out in the Bible, and others have found also, that it directly relates that all the psalmists were like this on the schedule. One, day one was the new moon. That was a rest day. No work. Now, Israel was confined and confounded at the same time. They saw their counterparts, the Canaanites and the wicked other nations around them trading on the new moon. And they wanted to trade on the new moon and make money. You see, it's all about money. It's all about that. But because people are confined within the framework of the lunar Sabbath, it brings heartache. Sometimes you have to rest when you'd rather be working. You got things to do. You got bills to pay. Well, the Roman government is still in use today, who changed the calendar and the times, cast the truth to the ground, and prospered by Satan encouraging them to do so. He said, I want to make the appointments. I want to keep the seasons. I want to say when you come and worship me. So he changed man's calendar to a 7 day weekly, from a monthly to a weekly count, and put 7 days in it and said it repeated continuously. It's not true. It don't work that way. And that can be easily refuted to anybody that wants to debate it. It just won't compute. But with the intermission kept properly from the signs of the heavens, you keep the 7 day cycle within the confines of what the Bible says. Now, again, let me repeat. Let's start with a new moon. That's the first day of the month. Numbers 29 and 1 will tell you, don't do any work on that day. That's a new moon. Blow the trumpet. Psalms 119, Psalms 81 will tell you that the moon was observed very closely by Israel to mark the beginning of the next month. They kept time by the equinox of the spring equinox. We know that. We know by models and demonstrations and proofs that the Hebrew people, wherever they went, they watched the heavens for the time of the spring equinox. Came in, and they marked that day, and then they kept the first new moon after that count to begin their count for the religious year. You see, April is our month to begin time in the year. The heathen begin in January. Jan, Jupiter. They change time to cue out of the system, and by doing so, it took you out of the time count, and it's now a combination, if you will, of false figures. Remember, figures don't lie, but lies figure. The Bible says in Daniel 7:25, they'll think to change times. Well, this is what the Sabbath's all about. It's been changed. And now we've got people arguing whether Saturday or Sunday, instead of where it begins on the new moon. We know that the month begins on the new moon, and then you keep that holy, and then you work 6 days. Well, that would be at the end of the seventh day of the month. You would begin your Sabbath, because you keep 6 days after the new moon, and you work, and the gates are shut. And then they open on the eighth day. That's when you bring all your offerings. We're going to prove it next month. Or next Sunday, Yahweh will. And we're going to bring that to you, that it's a monthly beginning. And the Bible said in Amos 8 and 5 that Israel got to complaining. They said to the priests who were trying to enforce these laws and the right times, they begin to lose money and they begin to complain about it. And you know, when it gets in your pocketbook, the political system, it's the wheel that squeaks, it gets the grease. They said, well, you know, we don't really see any use of it ourselves. Just be careful and don't get caught. And so it began to be a precedent that they ignored the new moon. It was the beginning of the end of Yahweh's time, proper time channels. And the Yahweh's laws were forsaken for Baal's laws, or for Cain's laws, or for the fictitious laws of Satan, who now ruled over the congregation. The word congregation, if you look it up, the word is not proper. It's translated in error. It is the word appointment. Satan said, I will set or become chief of those who set the appointment. In other words, Yahweh's time count by the lunar was swept aside in favor of the Julian and the Gregorian calendar, and it's still in sync today. It's still being observed, and Satan is laughing all the way to hell with the souls of them that's deceived by worshiping the image of the beast, which is the imaginary dateline that they proposed and run through the earth and created time, a false time system, out of that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it ought not to be, but it is. Satan is a mastermind of deception. Would even deceive the very elect. I've heard people argue that Saturday, God rested on Saturday back in the beginning of time, and they know that God did, because that the Roman Catholic calendar has been around, and they kept history correct, and they might have changed some days and this, but it didn't really affect the time. And that still today, God, in the very beginning, he went to work on Monday, worked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then he rested on the seventh day. And Sunday was the first day of the week, and he went back to work. That's not true. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil is a mastermind of deception. You should watch. Watch what? Watch the times, redeem them for their evil. Don't take a Gregorian calendar hanging on your nail in your living room or in your kitchen or wherever you got it hanging, and I guarantee you got one hanging. Now, you're going to say, in the morning's Monday, because today's the first day of the week. Well, why is it that the first day of the week you don't work? You're supposed to work 6 days. See, they defeat their own self by declaring a false day, a a false time. They don't care whether you worship on Saturday or Sunday. It don't mean nothing to the devil. Both of these in the error. And as long as you're wrong, Satan's got you deceived right where he wants you. And when he finally run across this problem, man, with the Gregorian calendar, with a trade and commerce and time changes, they had to fix an imaginary dateline in the earth, and that put the nail in the coffin of deception. If you believe that, if you believe that lie, that the international dateline was designed by Yahweh, because on each side it changes time, if you believe that Yahweh is the master of the international dateline, if you believe he's the author of that, if you believe that he did that from the very beginning, you see, somebody's changed this, ladies and gentlemen. It happens to be the people that go to Christian churches, they keep the Gregorian calendar faithfully, and when it comes around to their favorite time, whether it be Sunday or Saturday, and then they park and mark. If you wear the mark of an imaginary dateline, you have bought in to the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is an image that they have created fictitiously. It's not there only because you believe it's there, and only because they're masters of the time, you abide by it. And if you abide by it, you subscribe to it, and you worship it, either in your hand to support it, or in your mind to keep it. And that's what we call the mark of the beast. So the Sabbath of the Gregorian is the mark of the beast. Whether it be Saturday or Sunday, it's like jumping out of a frying pan of deception and getting into to the fire of deception. If you keep Saturday, then you don't keep Sunday. If you keep Sunday, you don't keep Saturday. Well, it's a divided lot. Seventh-day people say it's Saturday. And the Sunday people say, yes, that's right. But we keep Sunday because he rose up on the resurrection, and that was on Sunday morning. That's a lie. Again, when he went into the heart of the earth, he was buried at the going down of the sun at the end of the 14th day of the month. And nobody will dispute this, what I'm saying. I don't know if anybody's foolish enough to do it, because they'd be blatantly denying the scripture. The 14th day was the Passover day, and he was killed at evening on the 14th day. Now, that's 3 o'clock at the ninth hour. We know exactly when he died, like I say. And he was taken down before dark, before sundown, because it's a sin dying on a tree after dark. They took him down, and they entombed him on at the beginning of the 15th day, which he entered into his Sabbath of rest. Now, early the next morning, get this now, early the next morning, after the 15th day ended, early that morning, so he was in not more than 2 days, if you want to be technical, because of the ending of the Sabbath, which would be that next evening, which is the 15th day, he was up early on the 16th day of the month. It don't say he got up on Sunday morning. We know it was the first day of the week, simply because the 15th was the holy day, and the next day would have been a work day. They dared not embalm him on the Sabbath day, but they came early on the 16th day, which would have begun the evening before, to embalm him, and they found he was already up. Now, we know he wasn't in there 3 days, like the Catholics say, from Friday till Sunday morning. That count won't work, you know that. If you can count, if you went to grade school, you can count and beat that. But somehow we believe that. Somehow we defend that. Somehow they tell a lie, and we believe it, and then we believe it to justify it, to defend it, because we keep it. They're so deceptive by getting you to believe a lie and be dumped, and to change times and laws, again, according to Daniel 7:25. You don't want to do that. Do not be caught up in this seventh-day Adventist thing of Saturday, and the first day of the week crowd of the Sunday, the veneer worship of the sun. Ladies and gentlemen, these are false timepieces that have been hung on your walls to give you a false appointment time. Now, if you are to see a heart specialist to have your heart corrected and to get it right before Yahweh, you've got to be there when the doctor schedules the appointment. Well, Yahweh happened to schedule no work on the new moon. He said, as long as you don't see any light in the moon, you don't work. You keep it holy. You worship me. And by the appointment, if you will, of the model of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 46, 1 and 2 will prove to you by the model. All I ask you to do is to get you a pen and paper. Notice as I walk you through the model demonstrated of Ezekiel's calendar, and maybe next Sunday, Brother Steve, on our calendar that we have here, we have added the model calendar that Ezekiel kept in the Bible. Prove to you that the time was exactly right, and it's demonstrated again in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 46, verses 1 and 2. It says that on the new moon, the gates will be open. Now, these gates were worship gates to the city. In other words, when you came to Yahweh's house, you would find the gates to worship or to offer up acceptable offerings. There was an acceptable time to offer up on the new moon. It was a time to come and worship. It was a time of a charity distribution throughout Israel. They wouldn't do any servile work for money, but they would come and work at the temple or do religious work on that day as long as it was to aid their brothers and sisters or to fulfill a need to improve the house of Israel as they worshiped and kept Yahweh's laws in the new moon feast. They saw that there was watchers on the wall for the new moon. They blow the trumpet faithfully until they came to Amos, the time of Amos, and they began to complain. Well, while we're sitting here blowing the trumpet and acting stupid and keeping Yahweh's stupid laws, basically is what they were saying, look at our competition over there. They're not taking off. They're over selling their wares. The flea markets are wide open. The marketplaces are buying and selling. And you won't let us do that. They complain, when will we be told that we don't have to keep the new moon? When's it going to be gone? When are you going to take it out of this foolish state of belief that we have to believe? There's nothing marvelous happening here, no way. And look at the competition. They're eating their lunch. They're making the money, and we ain't got nothing. We stay here doing nothing for up to 3 days. Sometime, that new moon modeling on the lunar Sabbath application of time, they would have to sit there for 3 days before they could even make a nickel. You know, that don't go well with man. When you take money out of his pocket instead of putting it in, see, the devil will put money in your pocket. Yahweh will take it out. Especially if you break his laws. He won't bless you. He'll curse you. And that's what Israel felt like. They were under a curse by having to keep the new moon festival and wait for the moon to change. And the Sabbath, they complained about them too. And so then, the model demonstrated by Ezekiel in 46, verses 1 and 2, it says, on the new moon. Now, you'll notice that the writers, I'd like to call to attention something that is out of sorts here. Something is wrong with the translation. I guarantee you that the original translation was translated like this. When will the new moons be gone? Or when will the gates be open? In this case, in 46, it was a model demonstration, but it mentioned Sabbath before new moon. Well, you know, in the line of reasoning, that the new moon would have to come before a Sabbath, because you've got to keep the new moon, work 6 days, and then the Sabbath. Well, right there, they backwards it so you won't catch it. The translators who mistranslated, especially in the King James Bible, they purposely switched the Sabbath up front so you wouldn't catch what Yahweh was trying to tell us through Ezekiel, and I caught it. That's when I got the revelation. I said, my heavens, it's the Hermetic comes first, and then the Sabbath. But they've got the Sabbath coming, and then the new moon. That's not true. When will the new moon, when will the gate be opened at the temple? On the new moon. When will the Sabbath gates be open? They'll be open on the 8th, the 15th, the 22nd, and the 29th. So it's 1, 8, 15, 22, and 29 that the temple gates to worship were open. Any other time that they came to worship, they couldn't because the gates were closed. No worship. They couldn't worship on that day as being a holy day. You see, you're commanded to keep the Sabbath. You can worship every day, but you cannot keep the Sabbath every day. You have to work 6 days and then keep the Sabbath. So it's different. There's a differentiation that built into the factor that you can only come to the temple, the physical temple, where the gates were only open to receive your blessings. And next Sunday night, Yahweh willing, we'll do part 4 of the Sabbath gates on the 8th day. I'm going to prove to you that the 8th day was when they were open. We'll take this model that we've framed to you and given to you tonight in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 46, verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to go back into the text, the Torah, the written word, and we're going to pull out 8th day assemblies. When Yahweh only accepted their offerings on the 8th day. That's when the Bible says that the gates were open in Ezekiel. If you can count, day 1 would be a new moon. Now, Mark. The next 6 days would be work days. Okay? Right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now we know that after 6 comes 7. But we're already out on the 7th day of the month because we kept the first day holy, and then we worked 6 days. That was 7, and then the next day would be the 8th day worship day. And then the next day would be exactly on the 15th, like I've done demonstrated to you in the Passover, when he died, was buried on the 15th day in the grave, and rose early on the 16th day of the month, which was the day of the sheaf offering, where they offered the grain. He was the grain. He was the first fruits of the resurrection. And according to Matthew chapter 27, verse 56, that the Messiah, when he rose, he came out of the grave, and so did many others after his resurrection, that's the first resurrection, the first fruits. And Paul gave that order. Christ and the first fruits, and then after that, he's coming for an eternal seventh day rest. Take heed, lest any of you have an unbelieving heart caught up in Saturday and Sunday, and the image of the imaginary dateline of the Catholic calendar, who have turned you aside from Yahweh's lunar Sabbath, and the blowing of the trumpet of the new moon, into fables to keep a designed time change brought to you courtesy of Satan and the evil ones that rule upon this earth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've come to the end of my message here tonight, and I have quickly run out of time. I'd like to tell you tonight, again, that I'm sponsored by Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. That's a toll-free number. You can call that number tomorrow after 9 o'clock Eastern or Central. I believe it's on Central down there. Central, 9 o'clock. The office will close or open in the morning. And you can call and ask Dr. Gary about this message. He is trained in this message. He knows it very well. And if you'd like to order a product on my behalf, do me a favor to keep my sponsors helping me. I'd like to help them and to offer you his services, the very courteous, kind, friendly people in the office will take your call. And if you'd like to order something or leave Dr. Gary a message, he'd be sure to call you back if you'll leave his number, your number with him, and he'll be sure to call you back because he loves to talk about Yahweh and to show himself an approved disciple. He's been in the faith many years. So you can call him at 877-289-7439. Now, you can call me, that's Pastor Buddy, at 423-351-1082. That's 423-351-1082. Or you can call my cell phone. That's 423-259-0606. Call us up. You can also visit our website. I'd like to give you an invitation to visit one of, we think, the best websites on the web concerning truth doctrine. Many documents that are posted up there, many tracts. One that I would suggest that you read would be, Do You Know Your Creator by Name? Written by a friend of mine up in the state of Ohio. Wonderful track, full of information about the great name that they changed into pagan names. And we'll get into that on our next series as we go into the name here live around the world on WWCR. So, call me. Write that number down. Go to our website by just typing in, if you've got the internet, type in www.oneyahweh.com. oneyahweh.com. Now, Brother Bob keeps this, our webmaster, he keeps this up to date, and we have thousands of hours of reading. We have thousands, probably thousands of hours of listening to messages that we've done, both on WWCR around the world for years, and WWRB. So you're free, it's free, don't cost you anything, just a little time to download. And once you download, any subject on the Bible and the doctrines is loaded there for you. Rocky Kersey, Brother Bob, down in the great state of Arkansas, who keeps it up to date. And if you have any comments on it, we've had a lot of good comments because Bob is so gracious of his time and spends a lot of hours working and editing and piecing the messages together to keep you informed and for posterity, which was the reason he took it upon himself to keep that and the information stored so that you could have access to that. So we're thankful for that, and we'll see you tomorrow night around the world on WWRB. That's over on 3.185 on the listening channel around the world with WWRB 3.185. We'll see you tomorrow night at the same time at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central tomorrow night with a brand new series. We just wrapped up the series that we got through with. We'll be on tomorrow night. If you are listening here on WWCR tonight, feel free to join us six nights a week live, either on WWCR or WWRB. If you like the times, we're in the process of posting them, bringing them up to date online. But if you'd like to have those, you can also call me again at any time. 423-351-1082. Call us. or you can call my cell phone again, 423-259-0606. And I'll see you tomorrow night. Yahweh bless you. And remember the Sabbath and keep it holy.